So I wanted to just share a few thoughts this morning. Won't keep you long, but something that, and I shared this in Nanuet, I kind of feel impressed to go along this way this morning. Not just because I have notes, but it's confirmed some of the things they were sharing out in Tulsa. Some of the messages that the theme actually for the week. And this was probably about a month ago. I was waking up early. I had responsibility to do prayer on Wednesday. And as I was waking up, it might have been 5 o'clock, 5:30, just kind of waking up out of a sleep. I heard right down in my heart, I heard these words, best in class. That's all I heard, best in class. And I went, huh. So, you know, you kind of know what that means, but I said, I quick grabbed my phone and I'm looking that up. What does best in class mean? Well, I had already started thinking about, just when I heard that, that you're a new person in Christ, you know. You know, in Psalm 8, it talks about how God views man. That you're the best he's made. There's nothing better. There's nothing greater than his creation, which is you. You're made in his image and likeness. There's nothing better. In other words, he made his best, and we're it. So a lot of times we're going through life, viewing life from our perspective, and we need to go and look at the Word of God. What does he say about us? Not what you think about you, not what people think about you, but what does God think about you? You know, we go through things in life, and so often we need to go to the Word of God and look and see, well, what does he say about things? So a lot of times we're going through issues and problems and we're, you know, people are saying, well, the devil this and the devil that. And I'm saying, but wait a minute, what does God say about the devil? What does he say about you? He says, you're his what? Workmanship. Well, huh. If you're his workmanship, stop looking at you like you look at you. Start looking at you like God looks at you. And you'll have a whole different view of life and you'll have a different viewpoint, a different perspective when you start looking at you through God's Word, because that's what he thinks about you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, is God. So God is good, and what he makes is good, so we're good. No matter what we go through in life, no matter how much we mess up, think about two things or three things. God is good. God is merciful. His mercies are new every morning, and God is faithful. No matter what we go through in life, no matter how we mess up, God is still good. Psalm 34. I mean, this is not my message, but let's take a look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and look at verse 8. It says, "O taste and see that what? The Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O taste and see that the Lord is good." He's good. He's good all the time. And James 1:16 and 17. James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Well, let's look at verse 17. It says, "Every good gift," this is the King James Version, "every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from" who? "The Father of lights, with whom there's no variables or shadow of changing. He doesn't change. You know what's interesting? When you think about God and his goodness, let's take a quick look here. I believe it's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which what? Which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." So in other words, he's already planned out a path for each one of us. And God is good. And no matter if we get off of that path and we're not fulfilling what he's ordained for us, God has all, he doesn't change. He said, with whom there's no variables, a shadow of change. He doesn't change. He doesn't go, oh, you know what? They're on the wrong path. I guess we'll have to change that. No. And God never changes his opinion of you or his words about you. You know how people talk? Oh yeah, how's so-and-so doing? Oh, they're messed up. You know how people talk? God never changes his words about you, even when you're off. He never changes. So even when we get off the path, God never changes his words about you. Did you ever think about that? He never changes. Whew. No matter how dumb we get, no matter the bad choices that we've made, the mistakes that we've made, he never changes his opinion. He never changes his words about you. He's good. Isn't that what the word says? He changes not. He doesn't change. So he's already preordained a path that you should walk in, and he never changes his words about you, even when we do. So we need to think and have our, no matter what we're walking through, that's the most important thing. No matter what we're going through in life, no matter what we're experiencing, we need to remember, he's good. He's good towards me. Everything he does towards me and for me is good. And he's merciful. Even when I deserve justice or some kind of punishment, he extends mercy. He extends mercy. He's a merciful God. Yeah. So God is good. But I wanted to jump in this morning. That's just a thought to keep in mind as you're going through life. We all need that. We all need to remember he's good. And everything he does is good, and everything he does towards me is good. I mean, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to do what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. So when I get off path and I'm making the wrong choices, I have the right to make choices. If you get tempted to go off and do something that's not right, God, he says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the minute you're living life and it doesn't look abundant, you ought to say, well, it didn't come from God. Now, I maybe made some wrong choices, but he's still good. He's still merciful. Even when I've gotten off, I've heard this. Even recently, people go, you know, that probably, I've heard this. People said, yeah, I must have done something in my past. I'm thinking, no, that's not a good God. What kind of parent would you be if your child had that viewpoint of you and thought, yeah, my parents are doing me because I was dumb? No. Your parents love you. And God loves us. And he's what? Merciful. So even when I have made a mistake, he's merciful. He said his mercies are new every morning. Man, we need to get a shift in our thinking that he's good towards me. And he's not waiting with some hammer to hit me. Even when you've gotten off and made some mistakes. People got this idea that, yeah, I must have made some mistakes. You know, I'm going through this stuff and, yeah, I must have done something in my past. What? So what does that say about the blood of Jesus? What does that say about him? So now you're judging God for your mess and stuff that you're walking through. You're judging God. You're saying God is doing that to you. That's kind of no. God is good. God is merciful. God is faithful, and he doesn't change. Man, if we look through the Bible, Paul would have been a perfect example for somebody that had a past. No. So let's look at Genesis. God made man in his image. He's made in the image and likeness of God. Genesis, starting in chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28. This is a New Living Translation. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. What does that say? He made us to be like him. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God did what? Blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God created all things, but only mankind did he create in what? His image or class of being. Only man did he create in his class of being. What did he say? We are made to be like him. That means you can make choices. You have a free will. You can choose to serve him. You can choose to worship him or not. So God is a spirit, John 4:24. God is a spirit. And they that what? Worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say the animals are spirit. It doesn't say a cow or a giraffe or whatever it is you name. They're not spirit. We're made in his image and likeness. And those that worship him in spirit and truth. So the only ones that are made in his image and likeness can worship him. No one else. So we have a right, we have the freedom and the right to worship God. Man, that's... So Adam was an exact duplication of God's own kind. Adam was subordinate to God, but the earth was under Adam's control. The earth was. Whatever Adam said, that's how it went. Adam was a man under authority. So this term best in class, That doesn't mean that you're the best in your class in a school. It means best in class, meaning of a certain kind. So best in class means it represents the highest level of performance, quality, or efficiency. So in other words, these are just something out of the dictionary. And it says something, these are synonyms. A word like best in class means something unparalleled. There's nothing that's equal to it. Unparalleled, matchless, unsurpassed, unrivaled, exemplary, super, outstanding, leading. God made man to be like him. And he put us in charge here in the earth, the body of Christ. We're made like him. We are his body, and he put us in authority, in charge in this earth. So we are made to reign, not cope. We're not meant to cope with stuff. We're meant to reign over things. How? In him, in Christ. So we're not meant to just cope and deal with stuff. We're meant to take charge. Not over people, but over circumstances. Yeah. So in all of creation, mankind, you, me, we're best in class. It's the best that God created. Nothing greater. This is in Psalm 8. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. Psalm 8, starting in verse 4. It says, compared to all this cosmic glory, why would you bother with puny mortal man or be infatuated with Adam's sons? Yet what honor you have given to man. Yet what honor. You know, you start looking up these words, honor means something a little different than how we view honor. If you look up that word, it means something weighty. It really almost talks about, it says here, yet what honor you've given to man. Created only a little lower than Elohim. This really means a little lower than God. Crowned like kings and queens with glory and magnificence. You have delegated to them, who he, God, delegated to them mastery over all you have made, making everything subservient to their authority, placing earth itself under the feet of your image bearers. I'm telling you, you get a hold of this, you'll start walking with a different thinking, a different attitude, a different talk and speech. You won't walk around going, I don't know what we're going to do. No, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take authority over it and speak to it. This is Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. God's looking for his body to walk in authority in this earth. He's looking for that. Verse 7, all the created order and every living thing on earth, this is what he's saying is the man has authority over. All the created order and every living thing of the earth, sky and sea, the wildest beasts and all the sea creatures, everything is in submission to Adam's sons. Lord, your name is so great and powerful. People everywhere see your majesty. What glory streams from heaven, from the heavens, filling the earth with the fame of your name. Oh, yeah. So this is the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. So God has placed man, and I'm going to jump over here in a minute, in John chapter 10, talking as a parable there that we need to look at. But there's two things here. There's a natural side to us, meaning you're a man, you're a woman, you're mankind, you're made best in class, you're made like him. And then you were born again and you're spiritually changed. So now you are the body of Christ in the earth. So there's two things. Mankind, just because they were born in this earth, have authority in this earth. And I'll tell you how you can see that. Think about what God spoke in his word. He said, death and life is in the power of your tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you have power with your own words to create things. You're made like God. You have a free choice. And your spirit, the words that you believe and speak in faith, create something. They're creative. So you're God-like in that sense, that your words produce. You have authority in this earth, and your words will produce something in the earth. They're spiritual because you're a spirit. So we're made in his class of being. Your spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And so we need to keep that in mind. And then, of course, now in Christ, in his name, we can speak and change things. So there's a natural side to something. You're a spirit. You live in this earth. What you speak and believe creates something. If you don't think so, look at Proverbs. You can go over to Proverbs 4 and look at, it says, my son, attend unto my words. 20, 21, 22, 23. It says, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them, the words you speak, not, or his words, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. And then it goes on, they are life unto those that find them, their health to all thy flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it, your heart, come what? The issues of life. That word issues, if you take the time to look it up, it's a Hebrew word. It means boundaries. So you literally create boundaries in your life with the words that you speak. Death and life. So God has made man to have authority and dominion. They may not realize it. They may not realize that. But just think about it. People pay thousands of dollars to listen to what? Motivational speakers, and what do? You have an imagination. God has given you to have an imagination. And you can think and see things, and then you begin to do what? Dwell on it. You begin to meditate on it. You see it, and you go, I'm going to do that. You're God-like. You're made in his class of being. And other people have imaginations to do bad things. But we can have an imagination to see things and do things and begin to speak and create things. Now, this is not mind over matter. This is, we're made in God's class. He's made us to see things spiritually in our spirit, our soul. So God, again, remember, God is bound by his word. A lot of times people think, well, doesn't God see what I'm going through? Can't he just fix this? God is bound by what he said. What, remember what we said? God never changes. He's without variableness or shadow of turning. So if his word says something, he is bound by his own words. So that's why it would be a good idea. Get in the word, find out what God's word says, and then abide by that. Work the word of God. So God is bound by a word. He has put us in authority over his works. And I'm going to read this from John 10:1. We're going to read the first few verses in John 10. But starting in verse 1, we'll read down. This is in the New Living Translation, and he's speaking a parable here. And this is red letter, I guess, this is Jesus speaking. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Well, we know from John 10:10, if we go down further in this chapter, he said, the thief cometh not but for to, and he goes on and he shares, to steal, kill, and to destroy. So he's saying here, anyone who sneaks, remember, he's speaking in a parable here, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. And then, verse 2, it changes a little bit. It says, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So here, what does the sheepfold represent? It represents the earth. So here, when he talks about, I tell you, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold, he's talking about natural childbirth here. So anyone who doesn't go through the gate, what does that mean? The legal entry into this earth is being born of a woman. And if you come in this earth some other way, you're a thief and a robber. That's what this parable is saying. So any being coming into this earth any other way is a thief and a robber. Any being that enters into this earth not being born of a woman but entering in some other way is a thief and a robber and does not have legal authority in this earth. That's what this parable is beginning to say. So the devil did what? He usurped that authority, but what happened? Jesus, when he came in legally, didn't he? He was born of a woman. So legally, he could represent us. Legally, he could take my sins. He was born a human. But he was God. It was a virgin birth. So he was not tainted with sin, yet he came in the legal way. He was born of a woman. So legally, he could take the sin of all mankind. He didn't come in some other way. This is God's speaking here. So Satan is here illegally. And we know that from the scripture where he said he tried to try to usurp the throne of God. And what does it say? I saw Satan falling as of a flash of light or lightning to where? The earth. He came, he's in this earth illegally. He climbed up some other way. He wasn't born here. He has no right here to be here. He's a thief and a robber, and he's a deceiver. Satan is. So the only legal way to get into this earth with authority is to be born here. We're reading God's word here. So with our authority, when our authority and God's ability come together, all things are possible. So I'm now not, I have a legal right to be here. I was born of a woman. All of us in here were born of a woman. You have a legal right to be here, but you now have God's ability. If you're born again, all things are possible. So we can do all things, what? Through Christ who strengthens us. So now, we read verse 2. Now listen to verse 3 of John 10. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice. See, so now this is talking about the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out. This is the purpose that Jesus was, his coming to the earth, to lead us out of what? Darkness into the kingdom of the light of God, the light of the kingdom of God. So let's read verse 4. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. He's talking about the shepherd now. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the shepherd, for the sheep. So now he fully discloses, he said, I'm the gate. So you can see here, starting from verse 1 of this chapter, is talking about natural childbirth. But then when you go to verse 2 down, it's talking about Jesus being the shepherd of the sheep, and then he concludes that by saying, I'm the gate. I'm the one that you enter through to be born again, to be spiritually reborn. So this talks about Jesus going before us and leading us out. The first gate, which we read in verse 1, the first gate or door is legal entry through physical birth. That gives us authority in the earth. And the second gate, or the second door, is the spiritual birth, being born of the Spirit. And that's what he said. He said in John 14, it's the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 5 and 6, it says, no, we don't know, Lord. This is Thomas. He says, we have no idea where we are going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus told him, he said, I am the way. He's the gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through him. So let's circle around here. God has made us best in class. There's nothing greater than what he made his man or mankind. And he has placed us here in the earth. We are his workmanship. created in Christ Jesus. And so we are the best in class. We are born in earth, which means that gives us authority over the works of his hands. And also, he is what? He is the shepherd of the sheep, or he's the gate that we enter through to be spiritually born again. And so that then gives us another level of authority, because what does it say? We are seated in Christ in heavenly places. So we're here in this earth physically, but God has said, you are seated, your authority is viewed from a heavenly place. You're seated with Christ in God in heavenly places, what? Far above all principalities and powers and spiritual darkness and wickedness. So we need to have our thinking adjusted that, yes, we're in this natural realm, but I'm connected to heaven. I'm connected to God through Christ. So I'm connected to this earth through natural birth, but I'm connected to heaven by my spirit, and he lives in me. And so now I get my directions, I get my leadings, my sustenance, I get from heaven. Because all things, he said, what did he say? He said, all the things that I need, everything that I need is with whom every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. So everything I need is in Christ. So if I need something, I need to do what? Believe for it. I think there's one thing we need to remember, that I don't have to obtain, when I don't mean the word obtain, I don't have to get something. He's already got it for me. I just need to believe for it. A lot of people say, well, I need to get my healing. For what? He already got it for you. I need to get prosperity. Why you need to? He already got it for you. What you need to do is believe for it and draw from heaven's resources. Faith draws from heaven's resources and does what? It manifests in our realm here that we live in. So God is a good God. He's a gracious God, and he's made us in his image and likeness, and we need to remember that no matter what we're walking through, no matter what we're going through, he is good. Because the devil is turning up, as they say, turning up the heat, and his time on this earth is shortened, and we just need to remember that we have dominion and authority here in this earth. I like this in Ephesians 2:10. This is the New Living. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So he's planned out some good things for us to walk in and do. And who's the one that's trying to obstruct that? Your enemy. He does not want you to walk in the things that God has planned for you to do, and he tries to do what? Discourage, to distract, get you off, and then what? Because you are made in God's image and likeness, you can then choose, you know what? I'm not doing that. I forget it. And yet, God never planned that. The devil is what? A thief, he's a robber, he's a deceiver, and he will deceive you into thinking and doing just exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? Did he say that? And then they decided to do something that God never told them to do. And he hasn't changed his tactics. He hasn't changed that MO. He tries to get you off and say, yeah, I know, but God didn't really say that. He meant this. No, God said this to me, and this is what he meant. Get out of my face. And I'm choosing to do this, whatever God told me to do. No. Because he will try to deceive you into making a choice, and death and life is in the power of your tongue. It's your choice, but he's the deceiver. He's the one that will deceive you into making choices, and we need not do that. So God is a good God. Always remember that. No matter what you're walking through, no matter what you're doing in life, you may say, well, I'm not sure if it's God or not. Well, then don't make a move until you are sure. That's all. That's easy. If you're not sure, just hold tight. God has a way of getting to us. He's a good God. He'll show you what to do. Man, I'm telling you. Just don't be moved by pressure. That's what happens. People make decisions out of pressure, frustration, and then they make choices, and then they get mad at themselves for making a bad choice. And then that leads them down, spirals them down another path. Then they start thinking God's mad at them because they made a bad choice. No, God is good, and God is merciful. Even when we made some bad choices, he's a merciful God. And always remember, the devil is a thief, he's a robber, he's a destroyer. And God is a good God. He's faithful and merciful. And he's made us in his likeness and image. So what does that mean? If I'm made in his image and likeness, let's just close with this scripture. I believe it's in 1 John. Somebody can help me with that scripture. It says we are to walk. I think it's in chapter 1 of 1 John, but it says we are to walk even as he walked in this earth. So my point, the point I'm making is, if he's good and he's merciful and he's faithful, then so should we be. We should be good. To who? People. We should be merciful to people. We should be faithful. If we're made in his image and likeness, then we should have those characteristics. We should operate in them. We should be good. We should operate in a manner of goodness and mercifulness, merciful with people even when they make bad choices, right? Be merciful and be faithful. Amen. But always remember, you're made in God's image and likeness. You're made in his class of being, and God is a good God. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you're good to us. Thank you that you're merciful to us. Thank you that you're a faithful God. And Father, we thank you this day that we will operate and walk in the blessings that you've made us to walk in. And Father, we thank you that you're a good God. Thank you that you've made us to represent you here in the earth. In Jesus' name. Now let's make this profession. This is a little profession here. It says, I'm a new creation. Let's say this. I am born again. I'm a new creature. I have the life and nature of God in my spirit. That life is the light of men. I purpose to walk in the light of life. God's life is in me. God's knowledge is in me. God's skill is in me. God's ability is in me. God's wisdom is in me. He is instructing me. He is leading me. I am a child of God. The Spirit of God in me is leading me. I'll follow His leading. I'll walk in the light of life. You know why we can say that? Because we have His eternal life in us. And that eternal life is the light of life. So I have His life, His nature, His ability, His wisdom. It's residing in me. It's already in there. When I got born again, I got all of His nature, His characteristics, everything. I just need to believe that and speak it and do what? Stir it up. Begin to speak what you believe. Meditate in it. I've got God living in me. I've got His nature. I've got His ability. There's nothing that I face that He doesn't have the answer for. There isn't anything I face in life that He doesn't already know how to walk through it. You need to do that. You need to say that when you're facing some situation and you're like, man, I don't know what to do. No, in a natural, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to get through this, but He does. And I need to say that. God, I thank God who lives in me. I thank Him that He's got the answer for this. He's going to show me how to walk through, how to overcome, how to ride on the high places of life. Does it mean I'm going to walk through some things? Sure. But we walk through with Him. I can do all things how? Through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean? When I face things that I don't know how to deal with it, I can do it because of Him. He'll show me how to walk through it. He'll show me how to invest my money. He'll show me how to spend my money. He'll show me who to be friends with, who not to be friends with. He'll show me who to witness to. He's going to show me what to do. We need to just speak that. Death and life is in our tongue. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, Father, we just thank You. Thank You that You're so great. Thank You that You're greater in us than any circumstance we face in life. Greater is He, the Holy Ghost, that lives in me than he that is in the world. So we thank You. Thank You that we're overcomers in Christ. Thank You that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank You that I have wisdom. Thank You that I have the illumination that comes from eternal life. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'll tell you, Brother Hagin said this years ago, he said, when you get excited about the Word will work for you. When you get excited about something, you don't go, oh, well, you know, I just got $1 million in the bank and I'm just muddling through life. No, when you've got something that's of value, you're excited about it. Man, I've got God living in me. I've got the Holy Ghost living in me. There isn't anything I face in life I don't know how to overcome it. Man, now your mind is telling you you don't know, but I've got the greater one living inside me. So that means I can have victory over everything I face, everything. I never come up short. I don't come up short. Amen. You need to speak that. Hallelujah. Because it's the devil that'll put all those goofy thoughts in your mind. I'm not making it. We can't make it. I don't know what we're going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak victory. I'm going to speak prosperity. I'm going to speak health. I'm going to speak blessing. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's stand. Get ready to leave. Have a great week. Father, we thank you for those assembled. Thank you that the word that we've heard is working mightily inside of us. The word that has been sown in our hearts has been watered again this morning. And Father, we release words of victory in our lives, words of overcoming, words of the greater one in us. In Jesus' name,